Welcome to the One Championship Atomweight Grand Prix. The quarterfinals, the first round, has just taken place on the Empower show. And we had four very, very tightly contested fights, very evenly matched. A lot of fights that I would like to watch again, and a lot of matches that I would like to see switched around as well. You know, every fighter, even the ones that came out in the losing end, they gave a great account of themselves and, you know, have made me excited for more matchups in the future. So what I'm going to do today is I'm just going to go through and give you a quick review of each of the four fights, how they played out, and then who moves through to the next round of the tournament. So this is the tournament as it was laid out in the beginning. We're going to start with this fight here. Itsuki Hirata against Elise Anderson. So in the preview show, we talked about how these two like to occupy the same space. This is why this was a good opening fight for the quarterfinals, because it was always going to be interesting. They're both aggressive. As you can see here, it's a bit of a frosty face-off. No glove touch from Hirata. The point of difference being judo and wrestling, MMA wrestling. Elise Anderson is the first to initiate the clinch, and she is the wrestling-heavy fighter. Most of the time in her fights, she likes to ground her opponent and then use her ground and pound. But Hirata's judo was just too much for her. Her upper body control, these hip throws that she kept using against Elise to ground her, were really, you know, really strong. And also, you can see as she's landing, she's clamping immediately onto the upper body. I mean, this was just a lovely display of judo for MMA. You can see how she bumps her hip in and then pulls Elise over her hip with her upper body and landing full weight onto her as well and keeping clamped on. And immediately the priority is controlling the upper body. You can see how she slides her knee up as well here. You know, Elise was flexible. She was durable. She was scrambling and twisting out of various different positions, which made the control of Hirata, for me, even more impressive, the fact that she was able to keep clamped on. Now, this was a bit of a bit of an upset for Hirata, something I'm sure she would have rather not happened. She got clipped with a shot at the start of the third round. You can see here, nice overhand right by Elise Anderson, but immediately Hirata was in on a takedown, drove her up into the fence, and was able to, you know, utilize that judo base. Great shot from Elise Anderson, though. She'll be annoyed at herself that she wasn't able to capitalize on that. As I said, you know, all of these fights were very evenly matched. There's that beautiful hip toss again. And then the flexibility of Elise Anderson, she's scrambling herself out of these positions, is able to reverse it and forces Hirata to drive back to the fence and reset. You know, this was a really good test for both of these fighters. You know, this is kind of the range that Elise Anderson likes to play herself. So the fact that she was up against a judoka that was able to control her upper body so well and then use those knees to the head so effectively, as well as some nasty elbows and shoulder strikes. Just a really impressive performance from Itsuki Hirata, who moves on to the next round and remains undefeated. So next fight up, we've got Mengbo against Ritu Fogat. Mengbo being the biggest puncher in the tournament, no doubt. And arguably Ritu Fogat being the best wrestler. And you could see straight off in this fight, I mean, this is 40 seconds into the first round, Fogat's got a lot of respect for the striking powers, particularly in the right hand of Mengbo. And a couple of times she shoots him for takedowns, and Mengbo does a great job of staying on her feet, defending those takedowns, and then he's able to land that right hand. And watch this beautiful footwork as she lands it. Jogs herself out to the side to land a short uppercut to lift her opponent's chin up. I mean, this is kind of what we expected from Mengbo. She's in recent fights has really found this power, and she's now very much invested in being able to land this right hand and finish her opponents. You can see how it cuts right over the lead shoulder and through the guard, catches Ritu Fogat on the chin, and then in the replay, the lovely footwork that that she uses to step out to the side. But unfortunately, she wasn't able to capitalize on it. I mean, she chased Ritu Fogat down. She had her up against the fence, landing knees. Ritu took another clean elbow there. She looked very rocked, shot him for a very weak takedown and got mounted immediately. But then, to Ritu Fogat's benefit, I think, Mengbo went for this armbar, and she wasn't able to quite get it locked in. Her body position wasn't right. And it gave Fogat about 10 seconds to just kind of clear her head and kind of figure out what was going on and get her hands on her opponent, and then she's back in her wrestling game. And she was able to get on the body, and run Mengbo into the fence and get out of that first round. And then the second round, and I actually think that worked out well for her in the first round, because the second round, she was even more tenacious with her wrestling. She was even more focused on staying in top position and just focusing on beating Mengbo up in her least strong range of MMA. I mean, this is really good work from Fogart, who not only is able to work constantly, but also control her opponent and keep striking. Look at that palm on the face there to set her up with knees. And I like this hook on the far side as well. She's got a hook around this arm. So she's pulling her opponent into her with one arm whilst posting through her head on the other, ready to set up those knees. She's one of the best female wrestlers in mixed martial arts, bar none, without a doubt. And she just proved it here, you know, being able to trap her opponent and beat her up, land almost a relentless barrage of punches constantly. And the third round was much the same, just a bit easier for her because now Mengbo's tired. Fogart was able to take her down and just drown her, beat her up with pressure. A really impressive decision win for Ritu Fogart, who not only moves on in the division, but also is a really interesting test for someone like Harata, who likes to occupy that same space. Next up is a rematch. We've got Rasahinya against Stamp Fairtex. So the first time around, Stamp, in my opinion, dominated most of the fight, but Rasahinya was able to catch her in a guillotine in the last 10 seconds. So this is the rematch. And you can tell that Stamp is taking her time a bit. You can tell she's respectful of Rasahinya because Rasahinya's got 10 first-round armbars. She's very slick grappling. And to my surprise, when I watched their first fight, Stamp Fairtex is not only competitive but also threatening in jiu-jitsu range as well. And she's doing all the right things here, but the level of Rasahinya's grappling is evident, not only because of how frequently she attacks but how she's able to adapt. And you can see, I mean, this is literally a chase here, because you can see Rasahinya's clamped onto a guillotine on Fairtex and obviously feeling comfortable because that's how she caught her in the last fight. But credit to Fairtex, she jumps and she runs around this side because she knows she's got to clear the guard. And as you can see here, as they're spinning, Rasahinya's keeping her leg in between the legs of Stamp Fairtex to try and slow her down so she can recover guard and try and finish that guillotine. I mean, she didn't even need both legs the last time. She only needed one. But as you can see here, Stamp's doing everything she can to clear this leg. And she does a great job of doing it, drops off to the side and finally is able to get clear and get back to her knees. But still, you know, Rasahinya's not letting go. She's back up to her feet. Stamp is able to turn and get her head out of it, and then immediately Rasahinya goes to another attack. I mean, it really was relentless in this first round. Lovely head and arm throw there. And for a while, she was able to control Stamp. But again, the toughness, the awareness of Stamp, and the flexibility of her neck as well. I mean, look at that. It's incredible. She's able to twist her way around and get back out. And then the last 90 seconds, lands a really good, what looks like knee to the body and then a knee to the head to me. And then he's able to take the back. And again, you know, like I said, improved grappling skills, not only defensively, but offensively as well. Was very close with this rear naked choke. I mean, she's got the arm tied up of Rasahinya just there. You can see that's trapped. The only thing keeping Rasahinya safe is stubbornness, is a big part of it. But also she's able to keep a hold of this arm, the top hand of Stamp Fairtex, to just keep alleviating that squeeze on that choke a little bit. If Stamp was able to put this hand down the back behind the head, it would have been game over. But you know, a really, really back and forth first round. Very difficult to see who was winning to start with, but then in the second round, Stamp just took over. And any time Rasahinya was shooting him for takedowns, Stamp was able to stuff the takedown and take top position. To which point you saw Rasahinya then focus on trying to get submissions and Stamp focusing on staying out the submissions and just beating her up. She invested a lot of strikes, and I think that's really what won her the decision, because although, you know, some of these submissions look quite close from Rasahinya, they were also reversed and Stamp had some attempts of her own as well. And, you know, anytime she was able to get her tied up and hold her for a moment, Stamp, you know, the tie boxer coming out, she just kept chipping away at her, kept beating her up as much as she could. So, you know, now we have Stamp moving on to the next round as well. So that's the layout after the first three. Three really interesting fights, very competitive. You could see any of those being shuffled up and mixed again. And you know, you could have a whole new Grand Prix. Now, the reason I stopped it is because the next one, there's a lot of conversation around the decision of this one. So the clips I've left are slightly longer. I'll give you my thoughts on the decision. Nevertheless, I mean, it was a really good fight, but it was much closer. It was less clear in the decisions than the other fights, in my opinion. And the other ones were fairly close. You know, Stamp Fairtex was under pressure a lot in that fight, but this one was a lot closer because they were both a lot more tentative. So the first minute or so of the fight, not a great deal happens. Sohee Ham controls the center and threatens with the left hand until the point where Denise rushes across the circle and clinches her and drives her up into the fence. There's a reason I've dragged this back. In the third round, there's a clash of heads. And the reason I've stopped it is because the clash of heads is almost identical to this moment here. So I want you to just keep this in your mind as I'm playing this through and watch what happens. Denise is going to throw a right hand right to the chin of Sohee Ham as Sohee Ham's moving in. And what happens is Denise is able to touch the chin just before she clinches. Bang. You see that contact on the chin? Just before she clinches, and then she rushes in. But her head is right on that center line. So that's the point in the last round where they clash heads. It's exactly the same sequence. And it happens a lot throughout the fight. I mean, I could have probably told you it was going to happen, you know, halfway through the second. Anyway, so the first round, Zamboanga's crowded Sohee Ham. She's pushed her up against the fence. And now we see a good few minutes of jostling for position. Zamboanga trying to take Sohee Ham down. Sohee Ham showing really good takedown offense, good balance, being able to get back to her feet, you know, unlock any potential takedown attempts, land a few meaningful shots on the inside as well. You know, good knees to the body, a few good hammer fists and such. And Zamboanga was able to get her down, but right at the end of the first round. So that was a really difficult third of the fight to score. Not a lot happened, but you've got to kind of lean towards Denise for being the one that was being the aggressor. I felt like Sohee Ham should have tried to get off the fence a bit more. But then, as the second round starts, Sohee Ham's doing the same thing as the first. But now she's being a little bit more active. She's controlling the center. She's trying to set up that left hand. But every time she is lunging in a straight line. They actually clash heads here again. Bang, clash heads there. And you can see Ham kind of feel her forehead. But that was Sohee Ham's game plan. She was hanging on the outside and she was lunging in with a big left or a jab cross and then trying to catch a couple more shots on the way out, but always expecting that level change of Zamboanga. Now, that was a nice takedown. Again, she wasn't able to establish position for very long. Sohee Ham was able to work back to her feet, and then we were kind of nullified for another minute or so before the referee separated. Just before we go into the third round, scoring these fights is always a challenge. It's not a job I would like, but because this one was such a close one and because there's been so much conversation around the score, I'm going to give my best analysis of what I think happens. Obviously, in one championship, it's not scored by round, and it's also not scored based on who controls the fight more. It's based on who gets closest to winning the fight, gets closest to finishing the fight. Now, the argument can be made that Sohee Ham was closer to finishing the fight with some of the left hands that she landed. I think she did more damage to Denise with her punches, regardless of the clash of heads. That wouldn't have been taken into account. She only did a small amount, though. And although Denise didn't do a great deal that was proactive to finish the fight, she did a lot of controlling. She did a lot of like chipping away and, you know, trying a few takedowns and those kind of things. Her output wasn't great either offensively. So that you kind of got to balance how little Denise did to try and finish the fight with the little opportunities that Sohee Ham tried to finish the fight, if that makes sense. It's a very close fight to score and a very tough one to judge. My thoughts were that Zamboanga did enough to win. I thought she won a decision, but I could have quite easily seen Sohee Ham taking the second round. But it was not for what she did. It was for the lack of what Sohee Ham did, because these opportunities where Ham had the opportunity to strike and to make something happen, she didn't. She hung back too much. The one reason I do think this judges maybe scored in the direction of Sohee Ham is because she was the one of the two that looked like she wanted to be in there trying to fight. When Denise was on the feet, she was backed up against the fence, or she was trying to clinch or trying to get the takedown. But at the same time as trying to get the takedown, she wasn't opening up to try and finish. She wasn't opening up to land any big shots to then try back for a takedown. It was much more of a control focus, which I think reflects negatively on the judges with this scoring criteria. I think the intention with Sohee Ham, her desire to finish was scored quite highly. And like I said, she did have a few opportunities. But remember what I said about that clash of heads in the third round. This is where it happens. You can see their heads come together. Now, as you watch the replay, you'll see what I mean about the positioning. Fortunately, the camera angle gives it as almost exactly the same. So you can see Denise here. She's going to fire this out to the chin. But this time around, Sohee Ham's not standing still. She's moving forward with her own left hand, trying to counter. And they just clash heads. And it is a nasty cut. But then, and this is a point where the fight may have swayed. Had the clash of heads not happened, the next part of the fight may not have played out the same way as it has, because you've got to think, this fight's now been restarted. We've not got very long left in the last round. Neither fighter is very certain of the decision, so neither fighter wants a line to be drawn under this now. Even if you've got 30 seconds left in this fight, you want to make a bigger impression if you can. The biggest impression you can. What we see here is not only a very smart move from Zamboanga, but a very decisive move, because she's got this big cut on her forehead. Not that it's affecting the scoring of the fight, but if she stays on her feet and that opens up again, the doctor may stop it. So she might lose that opportunity to put that best example of herself forward. So she comes straight out and she just power doubles Sohee Ham right across the octagon. She just drives her across. Power doubles her against the fence, picks her up and slams her to the floor. And he's very, very proactive in this takedown. This was lovely. Look at this. Look how she sweeps the legs to the side. That's the one adjustment that you don't see, because Sohee Ham's doing a very clever little thing here. As she feels herself being elevated, you'll see that she hooks her feet on the inside leg. You see that? She's hooked her feet, so she can't be lifted any higher. So Denise, she makes a slight adjustment. She does this little bump with her hips to free the feet. There, look. Frees the feet out of the way. And you can see that Sohee Ham's really trying to keep a catch. Keep a hook on that leg. Bumps her hips forward. Pulls the hips to the side so she completely clears the legs. And then lands, bam, side control. And grabs a hold of the top of the top body straight away. And then from this point, she just chips away at her. And she does enough to stay in this position. Winning the round. Being the aggressor. And just doing the right thing. Doing the safe thing. It's a bit frustrating for Zamboanga and for her fans. I get it, because she's been lined up to fight Angela Lee. That fight should have happened. So there's some frustration on her part, because now she's coming against Sohee Ham, who's a veteran of mixed martial arts. You know, she's been around for a long time, and she's very experienced. And she's very dangerous. I think maybe Zamboanga was playing a little bit safe in this fight. I think she was very respectful of the fact that Sohee Ham's got a powerful left hand. But I also think that she was maybe not wanting to overexert herself too much, because she wants to keep moving through. She doesn't want to lose that opportunity of the belt. I scored it for Denise. I think she did enough to win, but I also don't think Sohee Ham did enough to win. I think that's more the point. I think both of them could have opened up more. I've seen lots of Denise's previous fights, and she's usually far more aggressive than that. I think partly it was out of respect for Sohee Ham, but I also think a part of it was her thinking ahead in the division. Thinking ahead in the Grand Prix and wanting to be moving on. Okay, so this is where we are at the end of the quarterfinals. So we have Itsuki Hirata defeating Elise Anderson. We had Ritu Fogat come back from a really rough first round and beat Mengbo by decision. Stan Fairtex wins the rematch against Alonia Rasahinya. And then Sohee Ham wins against Denise Zamboanga. I don't know whether that decision's up for review. I've heard it might be. So that may be shifting. I don't know. We might see a rematch there or what. I don't know how that's going to play out. But as of right now, these are the matchups. What's interesting now is that the next fight, the next part of this Grand Prix, the semi-finals, we get to decide. The fans get to decide. So you can go to this link at the bottom here, 1fc.com/vote, and you can decide who you want to face off in the next. I mean, my personal pick, just because I think we've got two good grapplers and two good strikers, I would match those two. Because Hirata against Fogat, they both occupy the same space. Obviously, what we saw against Anderson is Hirata using that beautiful judo upper body control and those hip throws. With Ritu Fogat, she's got much more of an aggressive lower body wrestling style, tying people up and hitting them and beating them up on the floor. But which one wins top position? That's what's fascinating about that. And then Stamp Fairtex, Sohee Ham. I think Sohee Ham's wrestling is good enough to stop Stamp Fairtex deciding to grapple. And then we've got a striking match between two really, really talented and dangerous strikers. All right. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you watched the fights. I hope all of that made sense. And I hope you're tuning in for the semifinals. Make sure you check it out. And as I said, make sure you go and vote. 1fc.com/vote. Catch you next time.